Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the private detective.
Yes.
Or, no, the private dick.
Yes.
Little clue for today's entry.
Did you see what I called you in Zencaster?
Long. Yeah, you called me flat top.
I didn't see it. Let me see. Oh, okay. Long the Tracy. Well,
I don't want to say Long the Dick because that felt kind of like being a dick.
So if I was a Dick Tracy villain, I would be Dickhead? No, I don't know.
Possibly. So how are you, fellas?
Good. Yeah. You know?
Peachy. Mentally exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a lot of stuff today.
Felt like I watched a little bit too, like caught some deals on Vudu. I'll talk about and download this, but yeah.
I've had my share of problems with the insect world this week. We won't talk about that on air, but just let's say something bit me in an uncomfortable area.
Are you going to join that group of that ants group now? Can I invite you to where we're all ants?
No, motherfucker.
Okay.
Oh, and then when I go to take a shower this morning, I didn't even tell you all this off air. There's a roach tries to come at me in the shower. Because we live in Texas, and we sometimes have to explain this to people, that we get these roaches that love to come indoors this time of the year when it's hot. And people say, well, don't you keep your house? It has nothing to do with keeping your house clean.
Yeah, nothing to do with that.
You can have the cleanest house possible, and roaches find a way in your house in Texas in the summer. It's just the way it is when you live in Texas.
Yep.
And, and this motherfucker was probably a good 4 inches. And I'm like, like screaming like a girl or something with a fucking roach in the shower. And and I did not kill him, so he's still lurking somewhere. So he got away from me. So, yes, I'm just going to leave it at that. Me and the insect world are not disagreeing this week. So whatever I did to the insect world, please forgive me. I'll make a smoke fire or something and pray to the insect gods.
The insect gods.
I don't know. Yes, it's not fair. Damn it. But other than that, it was an okay week, I guess. Besides that. And we might get some cool weather this week in Texas, down to the 80s. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, it's not too bad.
Prelude to the fall season, huh?
Yeah, it's not too bad this evening. It rained over here. And I went out, I ordered pizza earlier, and I stepped outside to get the pizza, and I was like, feels kind of nice outside, so not too bad.
But nice.
Pretty soon we'll be done with sweaty armpits and clothes sticking to us for at least 6 months. So
yeah.
All over again.
Yeah.
But yeah. So. Other than that, let's get into today's show, I guess. You know, last week's show, we kind of started out. We went on air and we announced, the death of Chadwick Boseman. So it was a little bit different last week. Sorry, the show, but we're going to pay our respects to him later in the show. A little tribute to him with our top five this week and talk a little bit about that as the world remembers him. I just didn't want to start the show and people think we're glossing over that in case they didn't listen to last week's episode, because we did touch on it last week. It was just kind of, we weren't sure how to take it all in as it happened. Literally as we were going on air, but we definitely are going to talk about him some today. For now, let's get into bless you long and get into download this, where we tell people what we streamed, watched, played this week. Whoever wants to go first.
I'll go. There were some cool weekend deals on Vudu. I know I told you I bought 42. I bought something else, but I can't remember. about a couple things. But I watched 42, and I can't believe I hadn't watched it, you know, all this time. It's a great movie. Very good movie. Harrison's great in it.
Saw it today.
Great in it. You watched it?
Yeah, just today. Yeah, a few hours ago.
Nice.
It's kind of funny. We all three watched it today.
Yeah.
Because I came home from football practice this morning, and I've seen it before, but I wanted to watch it again, so I watched it today. But go on, Matt.
Yeah. And then on HBO Max, I watched Get On Up. Went ahead and watched that. The Jackie Brown, James Brown story, sorry. Jackie Brown's the Quentin Tarantino movie. But that was good. I felt like it was solid, you know, the origin story and how he came to be. Dan Aykroyd is his manager. And, you know, he kind of alienates everybody around him in that film towards the end. But he had a hard life growing up, and it was a good story. I think Selena is still a better film based off of a singer, but maybe that's cause I'm impartial. I grew up with Selena, playing in the house all the time. I still have it. I still haven't. I wanted to watch it this week. And then I had Jake finish watching the Back to the Future trilogy. So we watched Back to the Future 2 and 3, and he's just like me whenever I was a kid. He loves number 3 because of the Western stuff. He knows who Clint Eastwood is, so whenever he shows up in the Old West and he's like, the name's Eastwood, Clint Eastwood. he just thought that was hilarious.
What stupid name is that?
Yeah. what else did I watch? Oh, I watched Hellraiser. And I watched Game of Death, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Well, as you all both know, last week I bought the $100 Blu-ray set for the Ring Cycle Opera Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the first two parts of it that weekend. And one of them, well, I put a text about it, but I didn't realize that the art form itself could be so emotionally sweeping and dramatic. It's
powerful,
you know. Yeah, it's powerful. The difficulty of performing in an opera. I was just like, wow, you know. My hat's off to these people. You
that
know?
Many instruments in sync, in tune. It's
and
it's,
singing, and yeah. Acting. Yeah, and it's yeah, I can't imagine that, but it seems like the I finished watching the final two parts of it on Wednesday and this morning. So the last one is called Götterdämmerung. I watched it at 7:30 when I woke up, and then it didn't stop until like freaking 1 o'clock. So I'm like. It's a five and a half hour opera. I'm like, wow.
That's, you know, crazy.
But thankfully it changed scenery quite a bit, and it was like the most varied of the four. And it actually went by pretty quick. But now that I know how the whole opera plays out, I could just select my favorite scenes and not watch the whole damn thing, you know, through and through. But yeah, I think I got my money's worth out of it. And, I know which are my favorite scenes now, so I don't have to sit through the whole thing and watch it. And then I watched 42 today, and then I watched Miracle right after that because I, you know, was in the sports mood today.
Nice. Kurt Russell?
My only, with Kurt Russell. My only nitpick with 42 is, tends to try to manipulate your emotions when it tries to, like in the dramatic part, it plays a music cue.
Yeah.
Try to get you all sympathetic or whatever. Yeah. It's like, okay, cue the music. And then the music starts playing to try to get you all, you know, emotionally.
Chariots of Fire.
You're right.
Isn't that, That's most sports movies, though.
Yeah, but I was watching Miracle, right? But it wasn't as obvious on the music cues, you know? There was like one scene in Miracle that was like an obvious, like, cue the music, right?
Yeah.
But in 42, they were just hammering it almost like, it's just a small nitpick, you know? But other than that, but it's a great movie. Well shot, well acted. And Harrison Ford's a scene stealer in this one, mm-hmm. in 42. He was awesome in that. And I think it's definitely one of his best non-genre roles, you know? Playing,
agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Playing Branch Rickey. So. Oh, and Alan Tudyk.
Detective Stabler?
No, Alan Tudyk, the Ben Chapman, the manager who was screaming all these racist stuff.
Oh, yeah. The Phillies, for the ones he coached for the Phillies.
Yeah, for the Phillies. Yeah. Yeah, he was leaning into the whole racist diatribe.
Oh, yeah.
But he seemed like, I know he wasn't enjoying spewing that, but he was really leaning into it, you know? But it's definitely one of the best movies, baseball movies out there. But yeah, that's my download this. Didn't play many games.
Yeah.
How about you, Mark?
I watched Trolls World Tour with the kids.
Nice.
It was okay. You know. Nothing great, just kind of a typical kids flick. I think the first Trolls movie was better. and that's all I'm going to say about the Trolls movie. It's like, I had to sit through it with it.
You didn't like Ozzy Osbourne in there?
I'm not a big enough Ozzy fan to really think, oh, that was cool. You know,
it's the king of the Prince of Darkness, man. Show some respect.
Not really. I'm not really a big Ozzy fan. He doesn't do much for me. Never has.
All right, we'll work on that. We'll work on it.
No, there's no working on it. Ozzy's just never done anything for me. I think he's okay. I just don't think he's like all that.
He ate a bat for you. All right?
He didn't eat a bat
for me. Throw him a bone.
I don't give him a fuck. Motherfucker pissed on an album.
I don't know. I like some of his stuff from Black Sabbath.
Well, I don't hate him. I just don't think he's like all that great. I mean, he's all right. You know? And he pissed on the Alamo, so screw him. Okay.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
He did what?
He pissed on the Alamo. He's
not allowed to play shows in San Antonio. He's banned from San Antonio. He can't go on tour there. And then I watched 42 today. I guess I didn't watch a lot this week. I didn't really have a lot of time with football practice and trying to get the kids ready for school next week. 42, man, that's a movie that I kept trying to go see it in theaters and never did. And when it came out, I actually bought 42 without even seeing it, because I'm a big fan of Jackie Robinson and baseball. And first time I watched it, I really liked the movie. And I think, like you said, Harrison Ford's really good in it. I think that my nitpick with the movie might be that, yeah, it's about Jackie Robinson, but they kind of glossed over some of the other players a bit much. And focus more on Pee-wee Reese, when really some of the story, the players, they respected Branch Rickey a lot. And there wasn't quite as much racism in the Dodgers organization as the movie might have portrayed it to be. There was some. The guy who got traded, that actually really did happen, because he just would not come over to the side of, you know, playing with a black ball player. But
wow,
you know, and unfortunately that's the time. But Alan Tudyk's character, that's how Ben Chapman really was. He was a very racist coach, and he paid with his job the next season. The Phillies realized that the world was changing, and the league was changing, so he lost his job after the 1948 season because they couldn't have a coach like that. You know, but a really well done film, like you said, well shot, really well acted. I think I saw Chadwick Boseman in that before I ever saw him in a Marvel film, of course. So when he was cast as Black Panther, I knew that he was going to be good. And We're going to talk more about him later on the show, of course. But that's about all I really watched this week. Not a whole lot. Kind of a little bit. I wanted to start The Boys season 2 last night, but because of my insect issues I've had going on, I was pretty tired last night, so mm-hmm. I went to bed instead of trying to stay up and watch anything. So, and maybe I'll get an episode done tonight after we record of The Boys season 2. So let's see. That's about it.
So, cool, man.
Super exciting. Download this for everybody this week. So, and well, let's get into today's movie, which was actually I've only seen this film maybe one other time, and it was kind of fun watching it again because I actually kind of really enjoyed this movie, and that is a 1990s Dick Tracy, based on the comic strip character of the same name that's been around since 1930s, I would imagine, maybe sooner. Long time character, and this movie came out right after the Batman craze of '89. So much, in fact, that Warren Beatty, who produced this and directed it and starred in it, hired Danny Elfman to make the music for it because he wanted the music to sound like that really good Batman stuff he did. And Elfman did the movie, but also said that Warren Beatty was insane, which seemed to be an ongoing theme behind the scenes of this film.
Yeah.
But who wants to summarize this movie before we get any further?
I'll summarize it.
Basically, the movie is about primary colored detective, primary colored world of red, yellow, and blue.
Well, it's like a comic strip coming to life.
Yeah. I think it's even more colorful than the comic strip. great production design. But anyways, the movie's about Dick Tracy and his exploits as a police department detective and his getting to know a young orphan child who's linked with the local crime boss named Big Boy Caprice, who witnesses a murder of another crime boss. But basically, it's Dick Tracy going after a crime boss who's on the rise, played by Al Pacino. And Big Boy Caprice is taking over the city, and throughout the movie you're seeing kind of like this whole elaborate one-upsmanship between Big Boy and Dick Tracy, and it all culminates to a kind of a weird climax where Big Boy is framed for something he didn't do, which is kidnapping Tracy's girlfriend. And even though Tracy himself got framed by Big Boy earlier in the movie as well. So, that's basically the whole gist of the movie. It's kind of hard to describe.
It's
kind of all over the place.
Dick Tracy trying to bring down Big Boy from taking over the city, essentially, in a nutshell. But there are other things.
With a bunch of small, awkward scenes in the diner between him and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But somehow it all comes together and somewhat makes sense. A bunch of really odd characters in this movie that don't make sense. They're all a lot of makeup effects and weird looks to these actors. You have Dustin Hoffman in there, almost unrecognizable. Heck, it's hard to recognize Al Pacino if it wasn't for his voice. And there's no explanation for it. Now, that's the one thing with this movie I felt like, even I remember when it came out in 1990, I felt like it asked its audience to really know about Dick Tracy.
But yeah, it's filmed like really a third installment. Yeah, it's filmed like a second sequel.
Right.
It's everyone knows who everyone is. Yeah.
No one knew who Dick Tracy was. And I think that's why, essentially, when this movie hit the box office, it appealed to older audiences. That at the time, Matt, you were only a few years old. Me and Long were maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. So this appealed to audiences in our 40s and 50s.
He probably even older than our parents, right. Really.
They went mm-hmm. to see this because they knew who Dick Tracy was. The rest of the world didn't really, but the movie treats you like you're supposed to know who these characters are, and you don't. They're just sort of all introduced to you. Dick Tracy's pretty easy to figure out, but all these bizarre characters like Flat Top and Mumbles and 88 eyes and all this stuff. It's like, where did they, you want to know where they came from? They just sort of show up scene by scene. And part of the problem is that Warren Beatty wasn't sure he'd get a sequel. So he tried to put as many characters as possible as he could in this movie. And it's almost too much at sometimes.
Yeah. Very saturated. But, and then you've
When I was a kid, when that movie came out, my mom actually bought me the officially licensed Nintendo video game of Dick Tracy.
Oh man, I don't know which one was worse, Dick Tracy or the Batman game.
No, the Batman game was well made.
Really?
Well, that's the crazy thing. Though,
it's so hard, man.
Yeah, it's hard, but it doesn't mean it's not well made. You know?
True.
Like Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden. With the cutscenes.
Is that this movie had a successful marketing campaign for it. There were a lot of action figures on the shelf, video games that actually sold pretty well because you had like these vintage collectors that wanted Dick Tracy stuff that they had never gotten before, but it didn't necessarily translate into box office. It did okay. American wise, it made like $100 million at the American box office, but it didn't, but it didn't take off overseas at all. So it had a budget of like $40 million. It only made about $120 million total. You know, Beatty played with the idea of doing a sequel for a long time, but then some very strange things happened with the rights, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Warren Beatty also had a hard time putting a cast together for this because apparently he's hard to work with. Lots of people turned him down. He wasn't even going to play Dick Tracy, but he couldn't find anybody to do it because nobody wanted to work with him. So he ended up doing it himself.
It was originally going to be Clint Eastwood.
He was one choice, And what's funny is Beatty's not bad in the movie. Even he's actually very good. He doesn't mail it in or anything. The crazy thing is Al Pacino even got nominated for Best Supporting Actor for this movie, which is just really bizarre to me to think.
I remember watching those Oscars too. It was like, wait a minute. Yeah. He's being nominated for Scent of a Woman and Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
In that really same year. Yeah.
And, so yeah, there's so much weirdness about this movie that I think that's partly maybe why it's watchable is because it's so weird. And it's kind of cool too. It's got some cool stuff in it.
Yeah. Beatty was like 50 years old when he filmed this. And some people said that he was too old, but he didn't look 50 to me. He looked like maybe, you know, on the early side of 40 to me. But I think he was good in the film. Madonna surprisingly only got paid $35,000 for her role. I thought she was, I remember her and seeing her like as a little kid, you know, I probably saw this when I was like 7. My parents bought the VHS and I remember watching it and I put it on thinking it was more of a kid's movie. So I let the kids watch it. And, of course the Madonna scene where she's in like a see-through gown and she's wearing like black underwear. And my wife's like, really, this is for kids? And I was like, I watched this when I was a kid. And I, you know, got it in my mind that Madonna was gorgeous in this film, which now I think she's more pedestrian. I think maybe a better looking jazz singer was Cameron Diaz from The Mask. If I had to pick a better lounge singer. But I think she does a good job. She definitely plays that noir dame, you know, very well. I think she
does a good job.
Oversteps or punches above her weight on that $35,000 paycheck. Probably should have gotten more. But hey, you know, it is what it is. And she's the that I don't know how she did that weird voice. I guess they gave her a voice changer whenever she was the blank.
Dick Tracy.
Yeah. I wonder if she did that on her own. I'd have to look that up, but that'd be pretty funny if she was behind that face mask, like crunching her face together, trying to make a voice. It'd be funny to see what went on behind that mask.
Well, yeah, I think too, the reason she probably only made $35,000 is this is one of her first movie roles. At that time, she had made tons of money off of her music and all that. So she probably felt that, hey, if I want to break into Hollywood, you know, I'm not going to ask for the bank or anything. And her and Warren Beatty were friends. So, you know, she might have done it as a favor to him, too, and took less money.
She did The League of Their Own, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, that which is a pretty good movie.
That's a good movie. And those songs were original, and she performed sooner or later at the Oscars. And it's a fairly catchy song. It's enjoyable. Soundtrack is good.
No, this movie has a really good cast. I mean, you have William Forsythe in there as playing Flat Top. Dustin Hoffman, like I mentioned earlier, almost unrecognizable as Mumbles. That's a curious one.
Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino's in the film.
James Caan.
Yeah.
Manny Patinkin. In the movie too.
Yeah. Manny Patinkin.
Yeah.
No, it's a good cast. The kid who plays
Dick Van Dyke.
He went on. Dick Van Dyke appears in the movie as police commissioner. The kid went on to be. The kid went on to star in other stuff. That actor, he still does things today. The lady who played Tess, she was in a lot of stuff back in the day too. I can't think of her name, but I didn't realize she had passed away a couple years ago.
Oh wow!
Yeah, the lady who played Tess Trueheart. That she is no longer with us. But yeah, overall though, this movie has a really good cast, and it's one of those movies that you look at the cast, you think, man, this has got to be great, and it's not great, but it's not bad either. I did think the music had a Batman feel to it, but
yeah, very much so.
You could definitely tell it's Danny Elfman. I can see why this film won an Oscar for art direction, and it does look like a comic strip come to life with the backgrounds and the colors. The way they make it look like it's in that period with all the cars and the buildings. So they did a really good job, I think, making it look like a comic book strip. It felt like a film that, like you said, it felt like a sequel to another film because there's so much to it. But it felt like they did so much in this film, and they killed off so many characters in those last, like Long said, kind of a really bizarre climax. It happens really quickly. Tracy's eating at a diner. All of a sudden he gets a call. He goes and he takes his Tommy gun, kills a whole bunch of bad guys. Somehow he manages to not get hit at all with Tommy guns facing him too. Then he gets back in the car and goes inside the club or whatever it is. And there's this weird frame job where Big Boy is framed for kidnapping Tess. It's all really weird. And then it's like they get inside the clock tower or whatever it was, and it's just sort of over. It's like, wait, what?
So bizarre. And then the whole time, Big Boy's talking, but like I don't think he's going on script too. I think he's like, what was it, improvising his lines or something throughout the whole time.
Saying weird things.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Yeah, it's like, it's not my fault. I didn't frame you, or Tracy didn't frame me, or he just got rambled on and on while he was, you know, going from his club to the clock tower and. He's just rambling all this nonsense.
I thought it was funny when he would give those fake quotes. He'd be like, this isn't verbatim, but he'd say something like, "All's fair in money and gambling, Thomas Jefferson." Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and Beatty has said that there is a 2-hour and 15-minute cut of this film that's never been released. And Beatty has tried to get, you know, when the movie was still in Disney, he tried to get them to release the longer cut. They didn't want the longer cut in theaters. In 1990, 2 hours and 15 minutes was too long. So they made him cut the film down. So maybe that longer cut might have something to do with some of the weird edits towards the end of the film. Who knows?
Maybe so.
The interesting thing about this film is when I was researching it, as of 2016, Warren Beatty's production company still owns the rights to Dick Tracy. But the reason he can't release a cut is he doesn't own the rights to this cut of the film. It's still owned by Disney, apparently. But he owns the film rights to Dick Tracy. After a long legal battle to try to the Tribune that owned the Dick Tracy comics originally tried to buy it back from him, but a loophole in the law allowed Warren Beatty to keep him. He battled them in court from like 1995 up until like 2016, and Warren Beatty won. He won the rights, and he still owns the rights to make Dick Tracy films, apparently. And every few years, he talks up the idea of doing a sequel or doing a reboot, and he might direct it with a new actor, but then the talks just kind of die, you know? So who knows? But I thought that was really interesting that Disney owns this cut of the film still, but yet, because he, even though Warren Beatty produced it under his company, Disney distributed it, but yet he owns the film rights still. So I thought that's very bizarre for a film that's 30 years old and Beatty's company's managed to hang on to those rights.
So you alluded earlier about how difficult Warren Beatty was. Well, like, can you get into something more specific?
Apparently, it's just very, like, Gene Hackman worked with him on the movie Reds, which, you know, Warren Beatty won for Best Director. And Hackman, this is 1981, Hackman said he would never work with Warren Beatty again after that. Danny Elfman said that he was insane to work with, that he wanted the music a certain way and all this stuff, and that he would just not take no for an answer, and he would just act nuts. There's been reports of other actors in his control on set and things like that. And apparently just, he is not a very friendly person to work with, you know, from what they say.
So must be the cocaine or something.
Maybe they tried to get Ronald Reagan to come out of acting retirement and play a villain. That would have been friggin' awesome. Like, cause I think wasn't he starting to go senile around that point
where
he
would forget? Alzheimer's.
Yeah. It'd be great if he was filming.
That was more late 90s though, before
he died. 90s.
It wasn't this early.
No, he got out of office at 88 and he started showing signs of Alzheimer's in the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, I could have
sworn. But nobody knows.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This was shot probably in the summer of 89 and released in 1990. So, Yeah, probably.
And you know what else surprised me? This is the same graphics guy from Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. And this movie looks a whole lot better.
Well,
maybe they paid him better.
Yeah. That's the big, when you have a bigger budget to work with. Yeah.
But man, it's one thing that kind of made me chuckle a little bit is whenever all the bad guys load up in their vehicles and they're going to bust out and drive through the cops, they do it one by one instead of all at once. They're like, let's go one by one so we can be the sole target for every cop. And they'll fire on us all at once. And I'm like, go as a whole group. That way they can't catch you. But no, let's go one at a time.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
But, you know, overall, though, this was a fun watch. Had you ever seen it before, Matt?
Yeah. My parents bought the VHS. That's right.
But, yeah, overall, though, it was fun watching it again. You know, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I saw it, like, on VHS or DVD back in the early 90s as well. I enjoyed rewatching it. It was a good pick. And kind of one of those comic book movies that people might have forgotten about and maybe could rediscover. It is on HBO Max. But I had fun watching this. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I might. It's definitely a 90s film. It has that feel to it for sure. But I think I'd give it a solid, you know, I think I'd give it a solid B. You know.
I'd give it a B. I agree with y'all. I really do love the how the production design of this movie. It's an unforgettable look, you know, for sure, in this world, you know? And even though I was kind of chuckling about it, I really do like the use of the primary colors in this movie. You know, you have,
it looks like a comic book come to life. Yeah.
Yeah. People wearing all reds or all blues or all, you know, kind of cool.
Yeah. So much, in fact, at the end, when Dick Tracy's eating at the end of the movie, he doesn't have his yellow suit on. It's black. You notice it. I think I wonder if they did that on purpose. You know?
Yeah. I thought maybe he took a desk job. Finally, I thought, I thought it was symbolic of that, but yeah, you know, we'll never know. Like you said, it looks like he got edited a little bit heavy towards the end. Mm-hmm. Skipped a few things.
Well, it's one of those movies that if they were to ever release a longer cut, I'd be curious to maybe check it out, you know, to see what, cause I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough that I'd watch it again and see what they did. I liked the film. I thought it was fun to watch something, maybe a rediscovery of this film to give it another shot. You know, I think that's fair enough to say. So.
Man, Pacino's so epic, man. It was such a good performance. I had you the keys to the kingdom. I'm like
he is good.
So it's hammy.
Bizarre to think.
Yeah,
it's bizarre to think he got an Oscar nomination for it, though. That's what's bizarre.
And then the dancing with the girls,
especially in 1990, a movie, you know, comic book movies, weren't taking that seriously. I think that's the weirdest thing. Like now, if somebody got nominated for comic book movie, you might not think anything of it. But back in 1990, you're like, that's really weird. You know?
Yeah.
So, but who knows? Maybe someone felt that his performance was Oscar nominated worthy.
Maybe so.
It's a good cast.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very good cast.
But if you want to watch Dick Tracy and you haven't seen it in a long time, it is on HBO Max right now. So check it out. It'll be a good watch.
Yeah. It holds up.
Let's get it.
Yeah, it does. Production wise. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, y'all ready to get into today's top five?
Top five.
Our weekly top five. As we look back, you know, last week, like I said, we went on air. The world was finding out that Chadwick Boseman had passed away. And now we've had a week to kind of think about it. A lot of remarkable tributes coming out from people that worked with him. We talked about 42, including Harrison Ford, paying tribute to him. You know, Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler, a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe actors. And to think that this man was diagnosed in 2016, which means he filmed almost all his Marvel stuff while sick. And he never told anybody, never complained. He just went out there and did his job because he knew the importance of the character of Black Panther that he was playing. And to me, that's pretty remarkable. That makes him a hero in his own way. You know, because as I think about Black Panther, it's given me a new perspective this week. As, you know, growing up, you know, we had movies like Superman and Batman and, you know, to look up to as being young people. And what Chadwick did for Black Panther, you know, people don't realize the importance of that film to give young black kids something to look up to. Because, you know, you can say, oh, he's not the first black superhero. He had Blade and a couple other characters. But a kid's not going to look up to Blade, who's killing vampires. Let's just be honest. You know,
yeah.
But Black Panther gave them a hero they could look up to, who was a leader and a king. And I think Chadwick knew that, how important it was. And he succeeded in that very much so. So in our top five this week, we wanted to pay tribute to him with our top five Chadwick Boseman moments on film. So, Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Number five, I have his Endgame appearance. I felt like it was one of his, you know, it was glad to see him after, you know, he had disappeared. And he came back leading probably the lion's share of the forces against Thanos. But I felt like it was a small role, so it definitely didn't sit near the top for me. But, you know, got the Endgame appearance for him, number five.
Yeah, my number five is his introduction as a Black Panther in Captain America: Civil War. The minute he stepped on screen, Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa, I was like, man, there's something about this guy, that it factor that you can't really, you know, point out. But there's definitely a quiet type of charisma about the way he carries himself on screen, mm-hmm. And it shows even in 42, his movie 42. And, but yeah, that's my number five, his intro as a T'Challa in Civil War, Captain America Civil War.
Nice.
My number five is, the final moments of Black Panther when he's sitting there in front of the sunset with Killmonger and they're having a conversation about, you know, the rights and wrongs of basically what just happened and how Killmonger wants to be buried. And like, here's Black Panther, T'Challa, looking in his enemy's eyes and feeling sympathy for him. And I've always felt that end of that film was a powerful moment. And it showed just how good Chadwick was in that role.
What's your number four, Matt?
I would say towards the end of Get On Up, whenever he's, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, he's made like a lot of mistakes. He kind of let his hype get to his head, and he pushed away everything and everybody that ever meant anything to him or cared about him because he was so full of himself. And, you know, he invites these people that he had pushed away that were very close to him, much like a brother and sister to him. And he invites them to one of his shows. And, you know, it's a very emotional performance by him. And he's just really good in that film. Really good scene, really good portrayal of James Brown. I only knew James Brown from get up off of that thing. You know, I just remember that.
Streaming but, anywhere?
It is. It's on HBO Max. So okay. if you haven't seen it, get on up. It's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I wanted to see it. I just never had a chance to.
Yeah. So that's my
number four is traffic chase scene in Civil War. I thought that was
that was good.
One of the most edge of your seat action sequences where Captain America and Black Panther were racing each other. Was it racing? Not racing, but chasing after was it Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a pretty cool scene, very fast paced, and they're all running on foot chasing after this car.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty cool. But yeah, that's my number four, the traffic chase scene in Civil War.
My number four is the scene in 42 after he takes the mental beating from Chapman at the plate, and he goes to the dugout and he beats his bat and lets out all of his anger. It just shows how good of an actor Chadwick was. And of course, Branch Rickey comes in there and consoles him a bit and assures him that he can fight these odds against him as being the first major league player in baseball, the first black player. And just a really powerful scene. And I think it's really well done. One of the best scenes in that movie.
What was that last scene then?
In 42, when he takes the mental beating from the Phillies manager, from Chapman.
Oh, yeah, the verbal abuse.
He goes below the dugout and beats his bat. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. What's your number three, Matt?
My number three is whenever Harrison Ford's character calls Chadwick Boseman's Jackie Robinson into his office to let him know that he wants to sign him. And he tells him that I want someone to have the guts to do nothing. And he explained to him that, you know, doing nothing takes a lot of guts, and what he's about, you know, explain to him what he's about to go through and what he wants to do for him. And that was, you know, of course led to everything else, but felt like that was a good scene. There's a lot of good scenes you could pick from that movie, but that's the one for me.
Yeah. My number three comes from Black Panther, where it's after the final battle with Killmonger, mm-hmm. where they had that final talk between each other. And I feel like where you don't see in very many films where the protagonist pretty much forgives the villain for their actions and choices.
Yeah.
And they kind of, because he understood where he was coming from. And I thought that was a pretty powerful scene, letting the villain die in peace, you know, despite his flaws and wrong choices.
Yeah. You
know, T'Challa was wise enough to empathize with the villain and to forgive him, but, you know, he did what he had to do anyways. Yep. So that's my number three. How about you, Mark?
My number three is one that you picked already, and that's his first appearance in Civil War when we first see Black Panther on screen. And I kind of combined the whole sequence where he's introduced, and then we see him chasing the Winter Soldier with the rest of the Avengers and all that. That whole scene was just awesome. I remember everyone was super excited about the Spider-Man scene in Civil War, but I really liked the Black Panther scene. I was like, man, this is so awesome. You know, and that was one of my favorite moments of that movie.
What's your number two, Matt?
I also had your similar scene long whenever T'Challa's chasing Bucky. That's just a really good action scene. And in that scene, you also see him scratch Captain America's shield. So whenever you first saw that, you're like, oh man, you know, this guy's got to have some type of vibranium in his claws. And, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. My number two is actually one of Mark's picks. It was the Jackie Robinson rage scene of being verbally abused by Ben Chapman. And yeah, that was a very powerful scene. But yeah, that's my number two.
My number two is,
go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a little surprised that Matt didn't have this one higher on the list. And, he had it at number five, but me, the, to your left captain scene where you hear Falcon and T'Challa and everybody come through the portal. To me, that's just one of the most amazing combat movies ever put on the screen. It's just one of the most amazing moments ever. And just to see T'Challa and everybody come back. To me, that was just right up there with the top moments. And yeah, maybe it might have been a short appearance in that film, but such an important one, you know, because at that point we knew Thanos was in trouble. So, you know, so, I mean, that scene just gives you absolute chills, and it was amazingly done.
Yep.
So you're number one, Matt.
My number one is in Black Panther. Whenever he takes what he learns about Killmonger and goes into the city, tries to, you know, improve life for everyone that, you know, is lower income over there. I felt like it was, you know, just him becoming aware of, you know, suffering around the world and him trying to do something about it with, you know, not just his powers, but his resources.
Yeah, for me, my number one's kind of a cheat, but I'm just going to say it. Anything that Chadwick Boseman has done and since 2016 to present, any kind of public appearance or any kind of movie that he released or shot during that time, is my number one moment, you know, because looking back on it now, it's just like, wow, he, you know, shot this, you know, in this time frame.
And his speech about Ali, whenever he met Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, hell, my number one feels kind of nuts. But no, number one, I pick that moment and when he first steps on the Major League Baseball field as a Major League Baseball player. Not when he goes into the minor leagues, but when Jackie Robinson first appears on April 15th, 1947, in a Brooklyn Dodgers uniform, and Chadwick takes the field as Jackie Robinson. At the moment, you kind of feel that he's embodied the spirit of the great Jackie Robinson, and it's such a historically important part of our history. You know, people can say what they want about sports now, you know, that they're overpaid or they're greedy or whatever. But at that time, after World War II, when the country is trying to reunite and we're moving forward from things, it's such a historically important moment. And then they put it on film with grace and a lot of dignity to the character of Jackie Robinson. And just really well done, you know, to have that moment put on the film. So I think that's my number one.
Yeah, but, no, that's solid.
You know, he's going to be missed, man. I'm not going to, you know, I can get emotional watching movies. And there was a couple times rewatching 42 where some tears popped up because, you know, it's like, it sucks, man. This guy was good. And, but it was much respect to him for the fight he put in to make those movies he did while fighting that. And a true hero for people, I think, to look up to. And young kids should look up to a hero like T'Challa, you know, and he could be the Superman of their generation, you know. And good stuff that he gave us. And, you know, and we have those movies to live on in his memory. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's well said.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get into some news. Did you guys see the No Time to Die trailer?
Yes.
Man, you know, if I could find like an early, you know, I know theaters are kind of opening back up and people are still kind of nervous about going. But, man, I got to go see James Bond in a theater. It's like, you know, just for the stunts and stuff. And maybe by November, you know, try to sneak into an early showing when it's not too crowded or something. Man, a really good trailer. I'm really – Rami Malek's villain looks really crazy. You know, kind of old school Bond type villain with a little bit of an edge to him. So,
yeah.
You know, looks good. Yeah, after seeing that second trailer, I kind of get a sense of some of the old school classic Bond elements.
Yes. Yeah, the machine guns from the headlights. Yeah, very the gadgets in the car are very old school Bond, you know?
Yeah. Even the, there's a super villain type, you know, in Rami Malek.
Yeah.
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 Very much a super villain.
Yeah. Looking forward to that, man. I'm always like Bond films. Did you guys see the trailer for the CBS All Access is The Stand?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. I watched it. My thing with this is it's already been done as a TV miniseries, and the one we got, it's actually pretty good. I just feel like it just feels like rehashing to me. You know, I don't know why we can't get a theatrical version of The Stand. I know the book is like 3,000 pages long, but you know, do part of the book and see what happens. Long, you okay there?
Yeah, I was a weird sneeze there.
Oh yeah. You know, I thought you dropped something.
I don't know.
I was like, what did he drop?
It's CBS All Access, so I guess if people want to watch it, they can watch it. Mandalorian Season 2 going to come out October 30th. So something to look forward to. No trailer yet. We'll probably get a trailer this week. Lucasfilm is usually pretty good about that. They announce a date or something, then we usually get the trailer shortly after. So something to look forward to there as we get live-action version of Boba Fett and possibly Ahsoka when Season 2 hits. We'll see what we get. Sticking with Star Wars, do we want to talk about John Boyega? Or are we us?
No.
Yeah, we're all getting tired of this.
No.
We're having to
say
something about something. The Batman got delayed. We talked about the trailer last week.
That one sucked.
Yeah,
that Robert sucked. Robert Pattinson was tested positive for COVID. They are going to they're going to shoot some stuff around him while he recovers. So it hasn't completely stopped production, but secondary units and stuff like that are going to
continue. Is he okay?
Yeah, from what
I mean, like,
he doesn't seem to have any heavy symptoms or anything like that. Quite asymptomatic, but not anything real serious either, they're saying. So
that's
so,
good.
So, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just, we've talked about COVID a lot this year. It's the world we live in as Hollywood tries to get back to normal. So, you know, we'll see. But that's really all I have in the news. It was a very short week. Unless there's anything you guys can think of that I didn't think of.
Well, I've always thought that the you guys heard about the whole thing with the Ray Fisher allegation towards the.
Yeah,
and then like Warner Brothers has come out and said that, well, they try hiring. Well, they hired third party investigators to be unbiased, and those investigators try to get contact with Ray Fisher, but he won't talk to them. Right. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. All Ray Fisher to me feels like he's doing is going to push himself out of Hollywood. You know?
Yeah.
Because he's just
no one else has come forward. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There were a couple of the Justice League actors did say that, yeah, Whedon was a little hard to work with, but nothing, you know, nothing abusive. You know what I mean? Just that he was, you know, a little hard to work with. That was about it.
Yeah.
Nothing to say. It was a piece of anything.
Yeah. You know, and there are some actors in the past, like from past movies, that defended Whedon.
Yeah. Like Ben Affleck did kind of come out, basically. He's probably the only one that said, I don't think I'd work with Whedon again. You know, he wasn't a fan of him, but nothing that serious, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little tired of hearing about it, too. You know. So. Hey, he's just mad all the scenes got cut, I guess. But he'll have the Snyder cut out next year.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, I've always thought that Cyborg wasn't an interesting character to me at all, right? And Justice League didn't help at all, nor did the Teen Titans stuff. But I started watching Doom Patrol, and their version of Cyborg is actually pretty cool.
Right.
Oh, Brendan Fraser?
No. Cyborg. They have their version of Cyborg in Doom Patrol.
I've only seen the first season. Well, what's he
in? No, he appeared in the third episode, I think.
Really?
In the first season, yeah. He was the black actor who had his father in Doom Patrol, remember?
I remember the blob girl. I remember the dude that turns into a spark and just flies away. And I remember the girl that has like 15 personalities or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, all I really remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not Ray Fisher, but the a different actor playing Cyborg, isn't it?
Well, and that's the thing. Cyborg always worked better as a Teen Titans character, or kind of an awkward superhero teen character, than a Justice League character. So I don't know. Maybe he'll have more to do in the Justice League Snyder Cut. So we'll see.
Mm.
But before we get out of here, I guess next week is Matt's birthday. He's going to turn 13 finally. So he got to pick the movie, and he's going to make Long and I suffer through Roadhouse.
Can I buy you guys a drink? Guess not.
Patrick Swayze is
Dalton.
I thought you'd be bigger.
Opinions vary.
When he's around, anything can happen.
How's a guy like you end up a bouncer?
Just lucky, I guess.
And usually does.
If somebody gets in your face, I want you to be nice.
Don't be rude.
Ask him to walk, but be nice.
Help this gentleman to the door.
Until it's time to not be nice.
So says the fighting philosopher.
He may be hard to handle.
I keep talking, you're gonna go off thinking I'm a nice guy.
I know you're not a nice guy.
But he's easy to like.
What's the matter, Dalton? Don't you like women?
The worst I ever had was wonderful.
He's not what you'd expect.
I thought you'd be bigger.
But there's one thing you can count on. He's the best friend a good time ever had.
Aren't you guys tired?
Doc, I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead.
This is my town. I'm not afraid of him.
I guess you'll be having that fire sale now, all right?
You got your hands full, kid.
I just think I'm looking at a dead man.
Patrick Swayze.
For that line of work, I thought you'd be bigger.
Gee, I've never heard that before.
Roadhouse.
At least there's boobs.
Yeah, I've seen this movie once. Once was enough, but I guess I'll have to watch it again. This is one of those movies that I know it's a cult classic, but like I don't understand why it's a cult classic, because usually with cult classics, there's something to like about them. If I remember right, Roadhouse just isn't very good, so I'm not sure why it's a cult classic, but we'll see.
I think it's, you know, it's a cult classic because it's a guilty pleasure film.
At least it's not Grease. I hate that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Or Last Action Hero again.
Hey, man. Star-studded casts in both. You got Sam Elliott, Patrick Swayze, and that's really all you need.
I don't need either one, but yeah.
But we will do it for Matt's birthday next week on the show.
Couldn't have picked a Kurt Russell movie, Matt? No.
Maybe next year.
Or Tu Wong Fu, at least. No.
Maybe. Hey, I would do Tu Wong Fu.
I'm joking on that. Don't take me up on that.
That might get a veto. But until we get to next week, we thank you for listening to this episode. Our new August Patreon with Double Dragon is out. So if you want to hear it and you're not a member, go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Click the Patreon button for just $2 a month and you can hear it. It's actually, I think, pretty good. I think it's one of our better Patreons. And follow us on all social media. And as always, we got a new review on podcast, on Apple's podcast. Somebody said, amazing show, great job. So we finally got a new Apple review. So that's kind of cool.
There we go.
That's it. Cool.
It was short. They just left a short review. But hey, I'll take it. They gave us 5 stars. And let me find it again so I can read it real quick. And they said, awesome show, highly recommend. And they're Richard Cheese was their iTunes name. I feel like it's somebody I probably know. And the way Matt's smirking. Was it you, Matt? You're such an asshole.
Hey, what's short for Richard? And then she's
got a new review.
Yeah, there we go. She's this
fuck twat over here.
Hey, it's still a new review.
But it's not legit if it's from you.
I'm legit. Man. I'm too legit to quit, man.
You're on the show, though. Next time we see
but you. But Richard Cheese isn't.
Me and Long.
It's like, it's like Days of Future Past. I just got here. That was the
no, episode. I'm saving my punches. If this movie, Roadhouse, turns out the same or worse than Last Action Hero, I'm going after Matt.
You're
going to probably. Week.
No.
It might be better.
No, I'm joking.
Might be better than Last Action Hero.
Well, I'm looking at the 5-star reviews from 2,400 people. It's like, wow, that's a lot of good ratings there, but we'll see.
It's definitely quotable. It's a very quotable movie. You could probably have a quote along viewing of it if you had enough fans.
Wait a minute. That movie has famous quotes?
Yeah, dude.
Like what?
I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
I've never heard of that quote.
No?
I'm sorry. It's just like, have you heard of any quotes from
Roadhouse either? No.
Oh, okay. Quotable, but not well-known quotes.
yeah, not well-known. It's very esoteric. There we go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Next week should be fun, or not?
Or not? I wanted to name Sam Dalton because of this film. The name's Dalton.
Thank God, Jackie's smarter than that.
Yeah, she is. Unfortunately, I almost had Dalton.
Poor kids. On that note, we will see you guys next week. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the PI.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. And remember, just go there.
Just go there and do it.
Do it.